right. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be back here, and it really is, because we've been doing so much traveling. It's kind of nice to be someplace for a few weeks. We went through one stretch. Anybody want to go fishing this morning? We went through one stretch where I think I was in a month's time. I think I slept in my own bed three nights, maybe two nights, something like that. So that's kind of the life we've been living lately. And so it's always good to be back with some friendly, and not that we don't have the unfriendly faces, but it's good to be back with some familiar faces, that's what I should say. And we truly have traveled a lot of miles. And three things as we go from church to church that we always ask God to help us with. Number one, obviously we need the financial resources to go to do ministry in South America. So that's one thing that we're asking of churches and individuals that we meet along the way. And secondly, we really need people to pray. And that's a critical part of our ministry, because as I've said many times, I really don't want to see what I can do for the Lord. I want to see what God can do through me. And the only way that's going to happen is when God's people are praying. And so we believe that prayer is the cornerstone of everything that we do. And then the third thing is, as we go from church to church, is that we are asking God to help us to be a blessing so that people find their best in God. And that could mean a lot of things. For some, it's salvation. Just a couple weeks ago, I was at Newport Richey in a church and saw on a Wednesday night three adults that came to trust Christ as their Savior. And that's a victory. And I thank God for that. And then that morning, actually, I was up in Jacksonville speaking at the college where I used to teach at. And actually, I still do. I have three classes online. But anyway, I was at the college in Jacksonville and speaking. And a young lady emailed me after chapel. Actually, we were on the road, and I just checked my email real quick, and had an email from a girl that said, she said, "You know, I've never thought about missions before," she said, "but I am now." She says, "How can I become a missionary?" You know, and that makes all the miles worthwhile, because, you know, you get tired, you travel, but I'll tell you what, it makes it worthwhile when you know that God is actually doing those things in people's lives. And so thank you for your prayers, because I know many of you do pray for us, and the progress is going well. I was just in Guyana, can't remember now my schedule, a couple weeks ago anyway, within the last few weeks I was in Guyana, and the visit went exceptionally well. We have equipment on the property as we speak now, and we're getting some things prepared so that any day now we're going to start putting in the orders for our wood to build our house, and those kind of step-by-step process there. And so we're excited to see that happening. So, but anyway, I want to draw your attention particularly to Matthew chapter 4 as the scriptures were just read. And of course, most of you probably know what I'm holding in my hands, but maybe you don't know exactly what this represents. But I'm going to get into that here in a few minutes. But I do believe that this, what I hold in my hands, which is, of course, a casting net, probably not identical to what these fishermen were using 2,000 years ago, but it was similar, something like this. And I've been in the Middle East, and I've watched them as they cast their nets, and it's a beautiful thing to watch, actually. They're very skilled at what they do. But I believe that what I hold in my hands represents what stands in the way of many, many people finding God's best for their life. And I want to help you today. That's my desire, is to help you today with this. And I want to have a visual in front of us. So we're going to get back to this in just a few minutes. But I want to speak to you about finding purpose. There's a reason why God saved us. There's a reason why that God has us here today. There's a reason why God has given us life. And I believe that this passage speaks loudly and clearly about finding purpose. You know, it's interesting when we look at the world today, and particularly our own country, where still the vast majority of people profess to be Christians. Now, I realize that comes in many different stripes and many different flavors and so on. But the vast majority of Americans still profess themselves to be Christians. And yet, you look at our country today, and so little of it really reflects Christian values. And so I think we have a disconnect between being a believer or a follower of Christ and you know what that really means, and finding the purpose for our life. I would suggest, and try not to be judgmental about this, but I would suggest that perhaps that we struggle with, you know, actually truly following Christ as we should. And I think this passage will help us with that. So I want to speak this morning about finding purpose. And by the way, I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures that might help as a little bit of a backdrop to this. In Acts 1:8, The Bible says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. And so we know that once the Spirit of God comes upon us, that the whole purpose of our existence changes. Being a Christian is not simply just attending church and checking all the boxes and, you know, following the rules and that kind of thing. But according to Acts 1:8, the power of God will come upon us and then we become witnesses. It's not what we do as much as who we are. And so each of us that professes to follow Christ, when the Spirit of God has come upon us, the very moment we believe the gospel, the moment that we believe that Christ has died, was buried, and he rose again, that very moment that we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we change. We become witnesses, it says in Acts 1:8. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse number 10, says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So God certainly speaks here to the fact that he created us for something very special. That God made us so that we would walk in these good works. He has a plan for our life, each and every one of us. You see, God does nothing randomly. There's nothing by accident. There's nothing at the last second. God never says, oops. God has a plan for each and every one of us. And when God saves you, he saves you so that you would walk in the works that he planned before creation ever began. 2 Timothy 1:9, a particular verse that's very special to me, it says that he has saved us and called us with a holy calling. And I love this because I think so often I run into people that they would acknowledge that a pastor has a calling, that a missionary has a calling, that an evangelist has a calling. But this scripture speaks clearly to the fact that every believer, not only are we saved through the blood of Christ, but at the very moment we're saved, we're also called. And I love the rest of that verse there. It talks about we're saved with a holy, called with a holy calling. And it's not according to our works. In other words, not according to our abilities, but according to God's abilities. One final verse in Matthew 28, verse 19, where Jesus simply said, "Go ye therefore and teach or make disciples of all nations." So clearly, there's a purpose for believers. And that's what's alarming to me is as I look at our own country and I see the direction that a Christian country is going, when in fact and indeed that God has given every believer a purpose. And I want to challenge us this morning to find that purpose. So as you turn back to Matthew chapter number 4, and we pick up in the scriptures in verse number 18, and I want to read this again. It says that while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, that's Jesus, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. So picture this. You have these two brothers, and they're out casting their nets in the sea, because that's what fishermen do. And here comes Jesus. Now, I'll tell you this, because maybe there's somebody here this morning that you're not a follower of Christ, you're not a believer, and by the way, you're so welcome here. There's no problem you being here at all whatsoever. We want you to be here. But perhaps you're here today and you need to understand something, that maybe you didn't put it on your calendar to meet Jesus today. You know, the day I got saved, I didn't have it on my calendar, wasn't on my schedule. The day I got saved, on the 1st of March in 1986, I didn't plan it out a week ahead of time or a month ahead of time or even a day ahead of time. I showed up that day not knowing what was going to happen. And that was these two fishermen. They're just out there doing what fishermen do. They're out there throwing their nets in the sea, and here comes Jesus. But let me say this about Jesus, that while the fishermen weren't planning anything, Jesus was. And so while you may come here today just thinking you're just here, maybe somebody invited you, you just came for whatever reason it may be, and maybe you don't even really know what that purpose is why you're here. But rest assured, Jesus knows. Because he does nothing by accident. And so here was Jesus walking by the sea, not haphazardly, but the Bible says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus was out on purpose that day to find people that he would rescue. And by the way, I pray that this morning, maybe there's somebody here that Jesus could rescue you as well to find that purpose in your life. So here was Jesus out walking by the Sea of Galilee. And first of all, I want you to notice that there's an encounter with Jesus. Now, for me, again, it was 33 years ago that I encountered Jesus. And let me just distinguish between that and religion, because as many of you know, most of you know, my mother, who attends here, has attended here for many years, you know that I grew up in a religious home. But I can tell you there's a world of difference between a religion and truly encountering Jesus. So my life as a child was that I encountered religion, but I did not encounter Jesus until I became a young adult. And the difference was that religion really is, and by the way, religion comes in a lot of different forms and shapes and so on. And the problem with religion is it's a set of rules that men develop so that we can approach God. And we can argue over which religion's best and which one's right and so on. And the world is full of wars today because of battles over religion. But the truth is today, God never pointed us to a religion. I'm thankful today that God points us to His Son, Jesus Christ. And He's not a religion. He's a person. He's a perfect person that loves you deeply. And the greatest thing about my life is that while I'm a deeply flawed individual, I'm greatly loved by my Savior. And by the way, that's your testimony if you know Christ as well. So here they were. They're out there by the sea, and they have an encounter with Jesus. Have you ever encountered Him in this way? Have you ever met Jesus? You know, think about some of you that know Christ and you followed Him for many years. Think about that day and that hour when you met Jesus for the very first time. But I want you to know, secondly, there's an invitation that we have to consider. Look at this in verse number 19. And He said unto them, follow Me. So here they were. They're just out there with their nets. They're casting them into the sea. And then suddenly Jesus gives an invitation. And by the way, according to scriptures, and we're not taking the time to do this, but Jesus invites all of us to Himself. There's this invitation. It is to follow Him. Now, in order to follow Him, something has to happen. In other words, if I were to come to you this morning and ask you, you know, Lee, if I were to ask you to come and follow Me, what would happen in Lee's life is that he would have to give up his will in order to follow Me. Maybe he wanted to go out that door and I want to go this way. And I say, Lee, follow Me. And if he's going to follow Me, he's going to have to give up on his plans, his will. He's going to have to surrender. And I think that's one of the hard things to do because we want to hold on to our nets. You see, the fishermen were still holding on to their nets. And as long as they had those nets, apparently there was no way that they were going to be able to follow Jesus, that Jesus was calling them to Himself, but they had their own will, just like all of us. And so to follow Jesus, they had to surrender their own will. And secondly, they had to change locations. You can't stay where you are and follow somebody. And I don't know where that is in your life right now, but sometimes we get into our comfort zones and Jesus is calling us and yet we are very comfortable with where we are. So the second thing I want you to notice is that sometimes we have to give up our present location. And thirdly, if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have to keep your eyes on Him. In other words, if I were to put blindfolds on Lee and ask him to follow me and I could just go through the building here, there would be no way that he could follow me as long as he had the blindfold on. He would have to open his eyes and actually put his eyes upon me. You see, the disciples, they had to turn away from what they were looking at and they had to look at something else. And maybe that's one of the hardest things for us to do today to follow Jesus is to turn our eyes off of what has captured our hearts. And to put our eyes upon something new today. And I don't know, maybe you're sitting here this morning and you don't know Christ and you're not a follower. And the truth is, one of the hardest things for you to do is to simply give up on whatever it is that you've been trusting, whatever it is that you've been putting your eyes upon, and then you have to turn your eyes upon Jesus. But can I tell you, as somebody that has walked with Jesus for a lot of years, and not perfectly, by the way, but somebody who's known Him for a long time, it's well worth it to take your eyes off of whatever it is that you've looked at for these many years and turn your eyes upon Jesus. The only way to follow Him is to turn towards Him. So I want you to notice this invitation. First of all, is there's the invitation itself is to follow Him. And then secondly, there's a transformation that we have to embrace. Look what He says in that passage in verse number 19. He says, follow Me and I will make you fishers of men. This is one of the most exciting things about the Christian experience that I think oftentimes we miss out on is that Jesus wants to literally transform our lives. It's not follow Me and do the best you can to get up to the level where you can do this for Me. not follow me and work real hard, and maybe if you get skilled at this, then you'll be successful. But what Jesus said is, follow me and I will make you. Whatever you need to be today, Jesus says, I'm willing to make you whatever that is. You know, I think about, you know, going to the mission field for the first time many years ago. And trust me, there's a lot of, as some of you could relate to this, there's a lot of apprehension because you think when it comes right down to it and your bags are packed and you're at the airport or wherever it is you're traveling, and all of a sudden you realize, can I really do this? And the truth is, none of us can. And that's one of the great secrets that you have to learn in order to be able to serve the Lord, is you have to realize that there is no way that I can do this. In other words, if it's going to happen, Jesus is going to have to make it happen. I'm not capable. You know, I just think about all the things that God has allowed me to do in my life. And I thank the Lord today that it's not because I'm good or talented or gifted or educated. It's simply because Jesus has taken a willing life and He's transformed me. The great desire that Jesus has for your life today is to transform you, to change you into something beautiful and wonderful. That's the job that He does. In fact, the Bible teaches us in Genesis 1:1 that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He took absolutely nothing at all and made something very beautiful out of that. And that's a picture of what He wants to do in our lives, that when He invites us to come to Him, it's an invitation to a transformation. He truly wants to change us and to make us into His image. Thirdly, I want you to notice that there's a decision that needs to be made. I'm sorry, a promise to claim. A promise to claim is, He says, I want you to be fishers of men. So what's going to happen here is that they were what? Fishing for what? Fish. But what had to happen was there had to be a change. Jesus says, I want to give you a life purpose, fishing for men. And by the way, I'm convinced that Jesus wants each and every one of us to be fishers of men. I believe it's our job. Now, not everybody's going to stand in a pulpit. Not everybody's going to preach and so on. But the truth is, every one of us, God has left us here today to lead others to Jesus Christ. You know, the greatest day in my life by far is the day that I got saved. The day that I met Christ and how Christ transformed me. And I'm thankful that there were people that God put into my life that were willing to fish for men, because somebody caught me. And they brought me into the presence of where I could hear the Word of God being preached and be exposed to the Gospel. And I'm thankful that there were fishers of men that God put into my life. Who was it in your life that brought you to Jesus? Who was that that God put into your life to influence you and to bring you to the feet of Jesus so that you could repent of your sins and to believe and have the life, the wonderful life of Jesus placed in you? And you know what? Jesus wants you to be that for somebody else now. I'm so thankful that we have a purpose, and fishing for men is our life purpose. But thirdly, as I already mentioned, there's a decision that has to be made. This decision has to be made because all of us are holding on to something. All of us have something in our hands. Like those fishermen that day, you know, they were standing in the water. They were there casting their nets. And here's Jesus, and he gives them a decision to make. Follow me, he says, and I'll make you fishers of men. Sounds like kind of a crazy proposition, right? You know, and that's the truth about Christianity, is that it can sound pretty crazy. That God really wants to do something with your life. But they had to make a decision. And that's the hard part, because many of us are holding on to something in our life today that apparently makes it really hard for us to make a decision to follow Jesus. It's that net. You see, the fishermen had to let go of their nets. And I like what it says there as they responded in verse number 20. It says, in my Bible, it says, immediately they left their nets. You know, there's something about the words of Jesus that were so powerful in their life. Immediately. Now think about that. What did those nets represent? You see, the nets were essentially representing what their family had done for generations. If they were fishermen, their fathers were fishermen, their grandfathers were fishermen. This was a generational business. So this represented their family. This represented their income. This represented their future. It represented their identity. It represented literally everything. And here comes this Jesus who says, drop it and come with me. And this is where I think a lot of us get hung up. The price is too high. It's just too great. They had a decision to make. I'm thankful that their testimony was that immediately they left their nets and followed Him. And we look down further at John and his brother. In verse number 22, it also says immediately they left their boat and their father. You see that? They had a decision to make. The nets were in their hands. In one hand, you have what you know and what is secure and what you've done for generations that's in your hands. And this represents your future. This represents your income. It represents all that you are. And here's somebody else over here saying, drop it and follow me. That's why I think that following Jesus is hard, because He's not saying, okay, tell me what you want to do and I'll join in and help you out. No, He says, drop what you're doing and follow me. But sadly, a lot of us do it this way. Jesus, I'm going fishing. Come help me. I'm just going to pray God blesses my fishing. That's right. That's the way we like to follow Jesus, right? But really, in reality, we want Jesus to follow us. But Jesus says, drop it and follow me. And I'm thankful for the testimony of these men that had such courage that immediately they dropped their nets. They left their nets. They left their boat. They left their father. They left what was familiar. They left what they knew. They left what was secure. And now, I'll tell you this, that I don't believe that God is calling everybody to the mission field, but maybe there's somebody here today that God is saying, I want you to leave everything physically that's familiar to you, and I want you to go somewhere, and you're saying, I know that, because I hear this all the time, I can't do that. Of course you can't. But remember, Jesus says, I will make you to become. Whatever it is, so whatever God's prompting you to do today, even if it's really scary, He promises, I'll make you what you need to be. So let's look at this decision for a couple minutes. First of all, the decision is now. You know what I know about Christians? I've been doing this for a long time, been in ministry a long time. And here's something I know about Christians. When we know something is right and we put it off, sometimes just for a day, sometimes just for a week, sometimes just for a season, we almost never come back to it. Have you ever been in a service when God prompted you to do something and you put it off? Our churches are full of people that have the call of God in their life. And many of them know it. But they put it off to a more convenient season. I'll never forget when I was getting out of the military and I was in the command, just my last couple weeks in the command in Germany. And I went to visit the command senior chief, who had never been really much of a friend to me. And he invited me in his office and shut the door. I thought, oh, no, I'm in trouble now. But I only had 2 weeks left, so I was okay. And all of a sudden, tears welled up in his eyes. The command senior chief. I said, this is strange. I've never seen this man cry. And he said, Greg, I used to be you. You see, they had been trying to talk me into re-enlisting, and they didn't understand. I told them, I'm not going to re-enlist. I'm going to Bible college. I'm going in the ministry. They just didn't understand it. They didn't compute in the Navy system, you know. And so the senior chief said, I used to be you. He said, God called me to preach many years ago. I ran from God. I joined the Navy. Been here for 25 years. He said, I wish you the very best, because I should be where you're at. You know, that's just one illustration. I could give you many, many illustrations. Just recently, I had an 86-year-old lady come to me, just weeping at the end of a service. She came up and just fell into my arms. I gave her a hug, and she said, Greg, I've wasted my life. I knew God was calling me. You see, the decision has to be now. And I'm not doing that so I could twist your arm, because, it's not going to change my life. But here's the thing. If you put off what God is prompting you to do, what the Spirit of the Lord is leading you to do, you may never come back to it. And our churches are full of people with regrets for the things that they wish they had done years ago. So I say to you today, maybe it's the decision right now that God's prompting you to give your heart to Him, for Him to save you. to believe the gospel. And trust me, look, you may never come back into this building again if you're visiting here and you're not saved and you say, well, I don't know if I'll come back. But the important thing is whether you come back or not, the important thing is, are we going to see you in heaven one day? That's what's really important to us. And the truth is, today you could hear the gospel. You know that Jesus loves you. He died for you to pay your sin debt, and that he didn't stay dead. He was buried, but he rose again. He's alive, and he gives a promise that if you would call upon him, that he would save you. That is to deliver you from judgment and give you a whole new life. You say, well, I'm going to put that off for another day. But I fear that when we put things off, we don't come back to them. The decision has to be now. Secondly, the decision is life-changing. Look, when you're holding on to some nets and you're doing what you've always done, your father's always done, your family's always done, and you've got these nets in your hands, and all of a sudden here comes this guy that says, drop them and follow me, and you drop it, your life now has changed. You're heading in a different direction. It's life-changing. Listen, don't anticipate, well, you know, I could do just a slight adjustment. Listen, Jesus is in the business of transformation. He wants to change you. And by the way, don't be fearful of that, because whatever change that Jesus does in your life, he does it with a perfect love and perfect knowledge. He made you to be something very special. Don't fear what God wants to do in your life today. It's life-changing. Number three, it's costly. The Bible says very clearly in another place in Luke chapter 14, verse 33, that if we don't forsake all that we have, we cannot be his disciple. So can I tell you that if you decide to drop the nets today, to follow Jesus, it's a costly decision. It really is. But I want to say number four, and finally, but it's worth it. It's worth it. And I'll tell you what, we could probably line some people up here that have served the Lord for many years, and they would tell you this one thing. They're glad they gave their life to Christ. They're glad they served the Lord. You know, I've never met somebody that gave their life wholly to God, only later to come back and regret it. But I've met a lot of people who regret not giving their life to God earlier. It's worth it. Can I tell you that there's something beautiful about a life that's lived for God? No, I can't promise you you'll have financial security. Can't promise you that you'll live an easy life and comfortable. But can I tell you, though, that those are not the things in life that make life what it really is? If those were the answers, then why do people with a lot of money and things and power, why do they live up sometimes such messed up lives? It's obvious that those are not the answers to life. It's not what you hold in your hands that makes life special, but it's what you hold in your heart. And can I tell you that when you give your life to God, it's more than worth it. When we give our life to God, we find the purpose for which we were made. And you know, it's a wonderful thing to wake up every day of your life and to know exactly why you are here. It's a wonderful thing to know this is the beautiful life that God created for me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for speaking purpose into our life through Jesus Christ. It is difficult, Lord, for us. We admit today, we readily admit that it's difficult for us when, God, you come near us, you walk by the sea, and there we are, and we've got the things of our life in our hands. God, it's hard for us to drop the nets. But Father, there are some people today that perhaps need to drop a net. And with our eyes are closed, our heads are bowed for prayer, I wonder if there's somebody here today that would say, Greg, I want to be saved. I really believe that God's working on my life, and I want to give my life to Jesus today. And what that simply means is that you're willing to believe that Christ died for your sins, because we're all sinners, and that he was buried, but he rose again. He's not dead. He's alive. And that he's willing to save you today. And you say, Greg, would you pray for me? I'm not going to call you out. I'm going to ask you to come forward. But if you just slip your hand up, let me pray for you. Greg, I want to give my life to Jesus today. I'd love to be able to pray over you. If you just slip your hand up quickly and let me know who you are. Maybe there's somebody here today that has a net in your hand. You've got to drop it. Maybe it's time. God's been prompting you to do something. Maybe it's just to step up, volunteer some area of the local ministry. Maybe it's to go somewhere to do something. Say, Greg, would you pray for me? I just need to drop some nets in my life. There's some things I've been holding on to dearly. Would you slip your hand up as well? Let me pray for you. Wow, thank God. Many hands have gone up. Appreciate your honesty. Father in heaven, thank you for those that, God, that you're working in their life today. Obviously, you're doing something special. And I believe, God, that we all have a purpose. And so, Lord, I pray for those that raised their hand today. God, help and lead and guide and direct. Father, that they would discover that wonderful, beautiful purpose for which you made them for. Give them the courage, the insight, the understanding, the knowledge, everything that they need, Father, to take that next step, whatever it looks like. So we'll thank you for this. We'll praise you for your word in Jesus' name. Amen.